Today's episode of Enough is brought to you by a real awesome sponsor who's doing something super cool for you guys, and that's Igloo Software. Igloo is your digital workplace. It's a place for you and your team to give status updates, have discussions, and share files with each other, all in one awesome, beautiful place. At a glance, you can see exactly and easily what is happening throughout your office. With the activity stream, you can understand what Bob in accounting is taking care of, how your developer Harry is progressing with his code, or what Mary in marketing wants to do to promote your next product. You can create spaces for each of your departments or teams, including their own calendars, forums, blogs, document repositories, and Twitter-like status updates. You can even make these spaces private if you need to double down on secrecy. It's entirely web-based, so it works on your Mac, your iPad, and your iPhone. You can work anywhere. It's fully customizable as well, from HTML and CSS widgets and open API and JavaScript extensions. And here's the super amazing part. If you visit igloosoftware.com/70, that's 70, you can sign up for a 30-day free trial. And Igloo is also giving away a Field Notes National Crop Set. You don't have to sign up for the demo to enter the contest. You can also just go there and enter. But we recommend that you try them out anyway because they're an awesome product. Thanks so much to Igloo for sponsoring this week's episode of Enough.
Hey there, Michael.
Hey, man.
How are you?
I am very good. How are you?
You know, I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right.
Good.
A little while back, we did a kind of, hey, things I'm loving.
Oh,
kind
sorry.
Of loving right now.
Before we do that, we said we was going to have Aaron on again. We're going to have him on again in a couple of weeks' time. We had to make a quick last-minute change to some scheduling, and Aaron is going to be back. Mr. Mankey is going to be back to do a How Bear Is Your Air.
Yes.
Soon.
Yes.
Very soon. Very, very
yes.
soon.
Like yes. in the next sorry. Couple of sorry. Weeks. Forgot to cover
that's
that.
That's cool. Okay. Sorry.
I'm a little frazzled right now for whatever reason. I don't know why. So, back to the subject matter here, which was, a little while back, we kind of did this nice little, kind of one of our little rambling episodes, but it was all about kind of things we're kind of using and loving right now, software, physical products, whatever, and said we should do a regular sort of thing about it. And that discussion got way too deep into pen nerdiness and started to turn into an episode of The Pen Addict. I'm going to try to avoid that here if at all possible. So I'm not bringing up any pens, but I'm just willing to bet that you are.
I have pens, but I'm not bringing them up today.
Okay.
I am bringing up pen and paper related things.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. That's fine.
But not.
We'll try not to dive too deep. So yeah. Why don't you go ahead? Where are you loving these days?
Field Notes. Now, I've been buying Field Notes books for some time, and they've kind of just been stacking up. And the second thing that I'm loving, which I'll talk about in a bit, is kind of part of the reason why. But I've really been loving Field Notes, man. You know what I did buy, and this is like a part B. I bought one of those Pelly journals, and I'm putting two pads in it. One is one of the Pelle, is that what you say it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Sounds good to me. There's a little axe honker on over the E, so yeah.
Who knows? And so one book is the Pelle, the refill that they give, and the other book is the Field Notes. So I'm carrying them around a bit more, taking more notes in those books because they're amazing.
You must have gotten the small.
I got the small. So the Field Notes sort of just pops out of the ends a bit, which I actually quite like because it gives it a bit more character.
Yeah, I mean, because that's more like an A5 size or the small.
Yeah, it's slightly smaller than a Field Notes book, and so it's about A5 ish.
Yeah, here's the thing about Field Notes. I don't use them that much, but I can't help buying them.
That's why I force myself into using them more, because I keep buying them.
Because every time they come out with a new colors model,
they make
I can't
them so
stop
attractive.
Myself.
Like what on my sort of pie in the sky purchases list is the color subscription. I'm going to buy that sometime over the next 12 months.
I might as well, because I mean I'd save money that way, right?
Exactly, you would.
I mean, over the long term. But that said, in my defense, I do often send a couple to my dad. Like so, normally, like if I order a couple. I'll send one to my dad.
Yeah.
I also have been known to anyone who's received mail from me, you know, like physical, actual, real mail, knows I have a propensity to kind of drop random items in along with whatever it is I'm sending. If it's a letter or a thank you card or something like that, I'll throw in like stickers or, you know, some Starbucks, iTunes, you know, promo code card things, you know, what have you. I'm also have been known to drop in a Fields Notes notebook just because, right?
They're cool.
I mean, just because I have 50 of them back here that I will never use.
See, like what makes Fields Notes differently is they're cool. I mean, for people that live in America, they're made in America. You know, that's a cool thing. They've got a nice little history to them, and they're nice little throwaway books. Like you can just chuck them in bags and stuff, and you don't care about them, but they're in that middle ground. They're not cheap. Mm-hmm. Like they're not just cheap little pads that you buy in like Office Max or whatever, but they're not the really expensive things like Moleskines, you know.
I
love them.
They're very utilitarian. They're built for use, right? They're built to be used and to get used and to look used, right? Most of the Field Notes that I've actually put into some sort of service look like, kind of look like hell, but that's also part of the character, right? You know, that's also part of what makes them great. Is it's almost like an old leather bag where the longer it gets used, the richer the patina and the scuff marks and the scratches and everything else kind of add to its character.
Exactly.
So I did actually use one in a fairly regular, serious manner. I had one of the black ones, one of the Raven's Wing.
Raven's Wing,
that I used for all of my notes for the Enough book.
Oh, cool.
So, I had that little Field Notes notebook dedicated to those notes items, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
So
give me some
Field Notes. Check. What else? Or should I go next?
Yeah, you go next.
All right. So I really need to talk about a book. All right. I wrote a little book review on it for patrickrone.com, but it's just essential. People that know me know I'm a big fan of Stephen Pressfield's work. Stephen Pressfield, besides being a talented author and a talented screenwriter, is also a very, prolific, thinker on the plight of the creative worker, the writer, the artist, the designer, even the programmer, you know, those people that do, the work of creating. And, two of my favorite books of all time, were on this general subject were written by him, The War of Art and Do the Work. And he just released, and this time on his own press, so published it himself, a new book called Turning Pro. And what is great about Turning Pro is it almost completes this three-volume, and I wouldn't say almost, it definitely completes this three-volume set of everything that that someone needs to kind of break through the barriers and break through the fears and frustrations and other things that come along with living a life where you're working for yourself and working as a creative and doing the work. And kind of taking that from just doing something that you do on the side while you make money doing something else, what he likes to call a shadow career, and you fight the resistance, as he calls it, which is all of those things that stop you from taking the leap, and you turn pro. Basically, now's the time. you make the switch in your mind that you're going to, like, this is it. You're going to take this seriously. You know, put away all the other things that you are doing to distract yourself from doing the work and getting it done and putting out greatness, right? And it's just fantastic, and I couldn't more highly recommend it. And it is a must read, and certainly it's one of those books that, like, I was only about maybe 15 to 20 pages in when I was like, okay, I need to send a copy of this to Mike. Yep. So I did.
It's on my Kindle. I'm going to start reading it very soon.
Yeah, yeah, highly.
Because I read your book review today, and it definitely seems like a book that will actually help me.
Yeah, yeah, I know it will help you. And in fact, there's one particular essay in there that, like, really just, like, I got it to it, and it just stopped me in my tracks, and it's like, okay, I need to make some changes here. I need to, you know, cool. I really need to start taking certain things a lot more seriously. So,
sounds interesting.
What's up next for you, my friend?
So, on a recent episode of the show that we promised we wouldn't name, we had Mike Rohde of Sketchnotes. And he came on, and we had an excellent discussion about Sketchnotes. So Sketchnotes is something that Mike Rohde, he dreamed up. It's his child. If you've ever read Rework by 37 Signals, or Jason Fried, and
mm-hmm. Yeah, another great book.
Yeah. Then you will be familiar with Mike's sketches. But basically, Sketchnotes are a way to, like, if you're taking notes or something, to turn some of, like, the key phrases or the things that jump out of you into sketches. So to make them big, bold letters, and to draw little images that come with, you know, with some that associate with some of the words, things that jump out at you. And I've been practicing that a bit more, and I've really been enjoying it. I mean, we're getting ready to launch a new show in the next couple of weeks, which is going to be focused on Android. And I've been doing some of the planning for that show by getting some of the faults out of my brain in sketchnote form in one of the field notes books. That's how it links in. And I've also been doing some sketchnotes while recording some of the shows. As a way, you know, I've spoken on this show before about the fact that sometimes I need to do things to make sure my brain is focused. And Mike suggested to me after we recorded that I try sketchnoting. So I've been doing some of that too when I've been having a bad focus day. I've been doing some sketch notes as well while on the show note pad that I have always in front of me. So yeah, I've really been enjoying it, and I am so pumped for Mike's book. He's basically writing a book. It's more like a graphic novel. It's all illustrated. It's all done in sketch note form, sort of about how to sketch note. It's due out in October, and I'm really excited for it.
I'm super pumped for it as well, and I mean, I count myself amongst one of the people who said to him, I mean, a year and a half ago, like, what? I want a book on this stuff. You need to write a book. Where's my book? And so I'm so happy he finally is, because I mean, he really is. He kind of created at least, you know, got the word out about this idea and this method and this way of taking notes. And some of the stuff he does is just, it's beautiful. It's art, right? It's and it's something that I think anyone can do. Once again, if they break down the resistance that tells them, you know, that, this is horrible, or this looks ugly, or it doesn't matter, right? You get out there and you do it. And it's an incredibly wonderful way to preserve notes on the things that you care about, and a way to display them to the world. So, yeah, really, really nice. So for an early anniversary present, which my anniversary is not until this Friday, so don't congratulate me yet. It's my wife's and mine 6th anniversary, but it showed up in the it showed up on the doorstep thanks to UPS, and was not in a protective outer covering, and so therefore I kind of saw what it is, and so she's just like, oh, well, now that she's seen it, you just go ahead and open it. A record player.
Excellent gift.
An old, then, you know, it's kind of it's made by a company called Crossley that specializes in kind of reproductions, but it's a portable vinyl record player. And I have an old milk crate full of my favorite vinyl records from the 80s down in my basement. And I've been wanting one for a while. And so she knew this and she got it for me. I pulled it out. And, oh, there's nothing like, nothing like. Do you remember what records are? Or are you too young?
I was too young.
Michael.
I was too young for records. But yeah. I do own a record player. I went through a time in my life where music was really important to me. I mean, it still is, but not as much as it was then. Sort of from between the ages of maybe 18 to 20.
Okay.
And I started collecting vinyl records, singles, and albums during that period. So I have a collection of vinyl records that encapsulate like 3 years of my life, which is awesome.
Oh, wow.
It's a great collection to have. And every now and then, if I have an album that even now is really important to me, I will buy the vinyl of it. But like, for example, the singles are really cool because I have like every week for about 2 to 3 years, I used to go to a record shop. And buy up all the singles I was enjoying that week. So I have like...
Nice.
Yeah, it was really cool. Really cool.
Well, I mean, there's several people I know who probably listen to the show that have never heard music on vinyl.
It's totally
And it's everything that they say, right? There's a richness to it and a quality to it and a depth to it that cannot be replicated. Absolutely. Like, you know, scientists have done studies and comparisons and they cannot replicate this effect digitally. It can only be done on analog equipment and on a vinyl record. It's a much warmer sound. It's a much more alive sound. And if you've got the ears to hear it, it's like the difference of night and day.
Yeah.
Being able to say, for instance, listen to Steely Dan's Aja, on vinyl versus digitally, I mean, it's a completely different record. Is so much richer and so much deeper, and the sound is so much more complex. Highly, highly recommend it. And these record players can be had on Amazon for like $100. So it's not like a huge investment. You can find great old vinyl albums at just about any garage sale or eBay. There's tons eBay or there's tons of actual record shops that specialize in this stuff for DJs and such, because DJs obviously swear by vinyl in a lot of cases.
I have a Numark player, which is Numark, which has a USB connection, so I can plug that into my Mac and record the vinyl records.
Right. Awesome. And once again, those are generally not that expensive, like $100 to $150.
Yeah, that was how much it cost.
Calling correctly. Yeah. So, anything else for you, Mike?
Comic book.
Oh.
That I have to pick. I've only read one episode of it. One issue. Right. But I know it's one that I'm going to love. It's for children. It's a comic book for children, but it's so stunningly beautiful that anybody can enjoy it. It's Batman the Brave and the Bold. Now, Batman the Brave and the Bold is a cartoon series. And they've turned it into a comic book, and it's the same sort of art style if you've seen it. It's very, very bright, vivid colors, and it's sort of all square-jawed and really bulky characters, but they're more like a sort of cross between like if you've ever seen the cartoons, anything, I think of Powerpuff Girls and those sort of Johnny Bravo, those sort of cartoons, those sort of Cartoon Network cartoons, and sort of a mix of like a Hanna-Barbera type style.
Interesting.
It is absolutely fantastic. Like it's gorgeous. Like it is. Oh. And
so did you actually get the paper version are you reading this on the Comixology?
Comixology. And what's really great as well is it's adult funny. So it's aimed for kids. It's like a Pixar movie, has mm-hmm. jokes for adults in it, right? So clever jokes, basically. The humor is smart. The humor that in the words is smarter than a child would understand, and that's because they know parents are going to be reading it to their kids. That also makes it entertaining for an adult to read. Because I only read one issue and I instantly bought more, and I think this might be a mainstay for me because it's stunning and entertaining. I enjoyed it. Very simple story, but told in a very funny way.
Great comic. That's cool. I'll check that out for sure. I still need to download and give Comixology a spin. Don't ask me why I haven't done so yet after the last time you mentioned it. So I will make sure to rectify that.
Have you got anything else quickly before we wrap up?
No. I think that's good. Awesome. I think we can wrap up there. I mean, I could go on all day, but we're not going to.
No. Do you know what we never do? We never tell people how they can contact us.
We frequently do.
we never tell people how to contact us. We very rarely do that, and there's a few ways you can do it. You can go to 70decibels.com/contact, and you can select enough from the drop-down list. Mm. And me and Patrick are both on Twitter. Patrick is Patrick Rohn, PatrickRhone, like the wine. And I am iMike, imyke, and we love feedback.
Yeah.
So please suggest
and those that have found us and contacted us and given feedback, thanks.
They say awesome things.
We also very much welcome show ideas there. The people have bothered to go and dig that up without us mentioning it. Oftentimes that's what they send to us. And we've gotten several. I know that there's at least a couple on the docket that I want to cover right away. So that's another great way to contact us and say, hey, I'd love to hear you guys talk about this, or I'd love to hear Mike's thoughts on this or Patrick's thoughts on that. Hey, bring it.
Yeah, please do.
So,
awesome.
All right. Well, I think we'll wrap this one up.
We will. Cheers,
buddy. Cheers, mate. Let's talk later.
Cheers.